the AFA Resource Center is a one-stop shop to find tools that will help you grow in your relationship with God. We've also got items to help others find out about the ministries of AFA, like the AFR Trucker Hat. We're talking a very stylish six-panel meshback hat with the AFR logo made out of brown leather. It's fully adjustable to fit just about anyone, so get yours today at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Today is Monday, August 26th. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. And right off the bat, Ed knows today's date.
Yes, I do.
Ed knows today's date, and folks, here is why.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Now, do you know who that was?
It sounds like Foster Brooks. I'm not sure anybody remembers who that
Don
is.
Don Ho.
Is that Don Ho?
It's not the Carpenters. I know that.
I'm shocked.
Is that Don Ho?
We're in the town where Elvis Presley was born.
That was Elvis?
That's a young Elvis.
It said Elvis. So it may be an Elvis impersonator. We're up to our eyeballs with those around here. So
yes. Well, congratulations, Ed.
Yes, made it to 66.
Yes, that's right.
We have a listener. We call him Birthday Dave.
Uh-huh.
And he left a message. He grew up with my wife, so I've known Dave for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And every year he leaves a happy birthday song on a text message on my phone.
Yes.
And with his dog howling in the background. And Dave, he knows he just has one of those minds that
yes.
keep up. He when I first met him, he told me, he said, "What's your birthday?" And I told him August 26, 1958. And he said, "You were born on a Tuesday."
Yep.
He knows calendars like that.
That's right.
So
he's one of those. But happy birthday, Ed.
Hey, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet.
And Chris Woodward, also in studio with us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You hadn't wished me happy birthday yet.
I did.
You did?
I did. Okay. In devotion earlier.
Oh, all right. I'm just checking because.
Feliz cumpleaños to our Espanol listeners.
Yes.
There you go.
Brent Creeley, our producer, has not wished me happy birthday. Instead, he's just harassed me when I come into the studio, as he typically does. Nothing special about today.
That's right.
Just Monday.
What does Ed Vitagliano do for something special on his birthday?
I am going, the family is going over to my son's house and daughter-in-law, where the grandkids are located tonight.
Right. Big party.
So, yeah. So we'll party. I have no idea what's planned. It doesn't matter. The grandkids are there.
Uh-huh.
I don't care who else is there at that point.
Am I being stereotypic if I say, is it an Italian meal?
No, I don't. I have no idea what we'll have.
Oh, surprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
What do your grandkids call you?
Papa.
Okay.
I am Papa. And I've never been happier than when I've been Papa.
There you go.
Anyway, yes, thank you all very much.
You bet.
The staff sang happy birthday to me in devotions this morning.
Yeah.
And listen, as I said to them, it is a great place to work here. The people, very loving and friendly.
Yeah.
And every day is like a birthday at AFA. So anyway, so our listeners are thinking, yeah, it's your birthday. Big deal. We all have one once a year. I will say this. It is kind of strange that almost everyone I meet now is younger. You pass people on the street, you meet people and you go, all these people are younger than me for the most part.
Yes,
that's right.
There's a few that are older, obviously. And but that is a strange feeling when you start to get in that mentality. Mm-hmm. Everybody is.
Yeah. And then people start saying, you know, what was it like in the 60s?
Yes.
Well, I lived through that. Or I get on my Instagram, music from 1962.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I lived through it in 64 and 65 and all of that. So anyway, listen.
My worst moment at getting older was when a young lady, I was at a restaurant or whatever, you know, I'm checking out, paying, and she said, I gave you the senior discount. And I didn't even ask for it. I said, what do you mean you gave it? She said, I said, how did you know I was old enough? And she blushed, bless her heart. She said, oh, I just assumed. Well, you assumed right. So anyway, let's move on. There's plenty going on. There's plenty going on in the world besides just my birthday.
Yes, there is.
That's right.
Well, go ahead, Chris.
Well, former President Donald Trump is criticizing Vice President Harris on the third anniversary of the deadly Abbey Gate bombing. That's the bombing that killed 13 Americans during the Biden administration's withdrawal from Afghanistan 3 years ago. I have a little bit of audio courtesy of our Steve Jordahl. He cut this for us earlier today in Virginia, clip 12.
Third year. This is, I hate to even call it an anniversary because I don't like the word anniversary in this case. But this is the third year of that tragic event. And because of that event, we did so badly that Russia went in and invaded Ukraine. Israel was attacked, as you know, on October 7th. We have people don't respect us. They don't respect us anymore as a country. And where is our president? We don't even have a president. We have a fascist person running who's incompetent. And we have a president who's not even around. He went to California for a vacation because they threw him essentially out of the party. And then he came back home and I said, oh, is he going to go to the White House? No, he went to Delaware to take another vacation. And you got Russia over there with, like, nuclear threats. We got to have a president. We got to have a real president that's respected.
Wow. That's, as they say, that's a burn.
Yes.
I mean, that is an accurate unpacking of the problems that this administration has, Fred. And we it's easy to forget. Joe Biden is still president. I say it's easy to forget because technically, of course, he is, but he's just not in the news anymore.
No. Nope.
And he is taking vacations, and we still have 4 months left before Inauguration Day. Whoever wins on November 5th, we have 4 months left.
And it almost seems like his party, the Democratic Party, want him off the front page. Mm-hmm. Right after his speech a week ago, President Biden gave a speech at the DNC, the convention. And that night, he got on Air Force One, his speech went to midnight, but he got on Air Force One, flew to California, spent the rest of the week there, flew home Friday, Saturday to Delaware, and he went to the beach. I woke up this morning, and I'm not sure it was Fox or one of the news agencies had him, Joe Biden, sitting in a lawn chair on the beach. And it's like, okay, who's running things? Right. And it's almost like, and I'm just speculating here, like Joe Biden in his mind says, well, they didn't want me to run again. So I'm checking out. And that's where it seems to be. On the other hand, you have former President Trump today, just before this visit at this center in Falls Church, Virginia, which happened just in the last couple of hours, he went to Arlington National Cemetery to draw attention to this being the third anniversary of the death of those 13 soldiers. And, Kamala Harris cannot now, thanks to videotape, withdraw herself from what happened. She was asked, and this is some time ago, were you the last person in the room before that decision was made to withdraw from Afghanistan? And she said, yes, I was the last person in the room. That meaning was I gave my blessing to what Joe Biden decided to do in Afghanistan. So she can't separate herself from that. And then we had this horrible scene when the bodies of those dear soldiers were brought back to the United States. That scene that probably a lot of us have seen, that Joe Biden was checking his watch.
Yeah.
As each of the coffins came off that airplane, he was standing there checking his watch.
Yeah, the look was, I have better places to be.
Right. When is this going to be over?
When is this going
to
be over?
I want to get on to something else. Just one more thing on this event in Virginia this morning. Unlike Kamala Harris, former President Trump seems to enjoy taking questions from the media.
Right.
And one of the big questions from several reporters this morning, what about the debate? Because there is supposed to be a debate between Kamala Harris and former President Trump coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 10th. But now there's a squabble. Trump said this morning, I agreed to conditions of the debate the same as CNN.
Right.
Standing at a podium with mics muted when the other person is talking. Now, according to reports, the Harris campaign wants to change that. They want a podium. They want to sit down, each of the candidates sitting down with notes in front of them.
Oh, well, we know why that is. Go ahead, continue.
Apparently the Trump campaign is balking at that because, well, you were going to say it.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Why do you need notes?
She can't debate without notes.
Yes. So
she's not capable of it.
This is going to unfold, and it's going, you know, they're in negotiations now with ABC with these apparent demands from the Harris camp about some changes. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the sitting down part. In other words, why someone wants a seated debate unless it is purely for optics, which, frankly, I'm going to say, Vice President Kamala Harris, that is all she can rely on is optics. It would look more relaxed. It would look more like someone sitting across from you at the kitchen table. The notes, that should be... Trump should say no, absolutely no notes. You've got to be able to, on your feet, debate. And frankly, either way, it's going to be tough on Kamala Harris. Now, I don't think she's a pushover when it comes to debating. I don't think she will do badly. It could be a catastrophe. Anybody can have a catastrophic debate performance. However, it might actually be even worse for Kamala Harris if she has the notes. Because nothing would look like she's more ill prepared than if she's shuffling through papers to try to answer. I don't think she's capable of going toe to toe with anyone in a debate. She's proven that even in the Democratic Party debates in 2020.
I think the Harris camp is also worried about the flip flops.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much on video of her saying, "I'm against fracking."
Yeah.
So much on video saying, yeah, Medicare for all.
Oh, so the notes would be, here is your position.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're afraid of Trump saying, but you said on this date, about this issue, because she is the queen of flip-flops right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've aired $11 billion, and that's a real number in the South, clips of her back in 2020 saying, I'm in favor of this, I'm not in favor of that, and now it's a complete reversal. The fracking thing is really damaging to her in the state of Pennsylvania, where right now, if you believe polls, Trump is beating her. And that's a big issue because Pennsylvania has somewhere in the neighborhood of around 19 or 20 electoral votes.
Yeah.
And he and J.D. Vance have spent a lot of time there. That is where the Harris-Walls campaign officially kicked off, was in Philadelphia, because they're going with the whole freedom manifesto or theme, if you will, I should say. Whereas Trump and Vance are running on bringing drill, baby drill, bringing jobs back to America, that kind of thing. So it would be interesting to see these two go at it over an issue like fracking, which is not something that's maybe as glamorous as like the economy. But let me just explain it. Like, if we can nail down and really go after fracking and allow that to happen more in this country, it will bring down energy prices, which brings down food prices.
Well, and it makes those kinds of technological approaches will make us energy independent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's startling that the Biden-Harris administration, has acted tried to move the country in the opposite direction by cutting domestic production and then asking Saudi Arabia to produce more oil so we can buy it. It's been a bizarre 3.5 years.
The irony of that situation is, you know, so they get it from another country on the other side of the planet, and then they bring it here on a dirty diesel fuel ship with all these carbon emissions, and it's all in the name of saving the environment.
Yeah, and Fred, to your point, the flip-flops, I don't know. Tim always says this. He questions just how many people are actually in the middle. Undecided. And I don't know the answer to that question. So I don't know whether these kinds of issues, the flip-flops, for example, make much difference. I think there's probably enough, number-wise, independent voters in these battleground states to turn and flip the election.
Yep.
But she has come out and said in the past she wants to shut down offshore drilling.
Yep.
I mean, this is an approach to our energy independence, which is anything but. And in states like Pennsylvania, it might turn the tide. So wait and see.
For sure.
But it is interesting that they want notes for the debate.
Yes.
I'm not sure it will have the effect they think it will if she's caught on camera shuffling through her papers and looking like she's not ill-prepared.
Well, what happens, too, if you have a candidate that's relying on notes, you have another candidate over here who says he can do it without notes, told a reporter that this morning. He was asked, how do you prepare for a debate? He said, I really don't prepare for a debate. He says, I've been doing this
right
for years.
Right.
You know, I know where I stand on the issues, and I haven't changed.
You look more confident if you're doing it without notes.
Yes.
You look like you have the facts on your fingertips, so to speak, and you can change on the fly.
Yeah.
You can go from one subject to another and not look like you are relying on notes. So it might not help Kamala Harris if she has the notes, but she's in big trouble if she has no notes.
Yes.
I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think the vice president is competent at this level of politics.
Yeah.
I think she's in over her head.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems clear to me that the Democratic Party and their allies in the mainstream media, they know it. Just like everybody knew Joe Biden was losing his mental faculties. Everyone knew that. Everyone on the left pretended it wasn't true until they wanted him out. Okay. And I think they understand that Kamala Harris is incompetent and they're going to protect her as well.
Well, that's why they've been hiding her from the media, the reporters. Right. What is it, day 35 now, something like that, that she hasn't done a sit-down interview with a reporter?
Well, I saw a CNN reporter. I don't know if we have, it was a person on one of the talk shows. I don't know if we have this sound, but he said that they're hiding her because all of the disasters, all the political missteps have come during interviews.
That's right.
You know, so yeah. they understand that is not friendly terrain for the vice president.
I do have something that is similar to what you're talking about, but it's not that exact soundbite. Let's do this one. It's Bill Maher on HBO, Democrat Bill Maher on HBO, criticizing CNN in front of one of its own personalities, Caitlin Collins. Maher is of the opinion that CNN is just in the tank for the Democratic Party, and they've been cheerleading her for a long time now. But he's talking specifically about the hours immediately following her acceptance speech last Thursday night. Clip 10.
Talking about the people on CNN and what I know what the conservative side of America thinks, and I don't blame them. I watched Kamala's speech last night. It ended at 8:09, I guess 11:09 in the East. It wasn't until 11:23. Till the one conservative guy, what's his name?
Scott Jennings.
This lonely Scott, I call him.
David Urban was there too.
Wait a second. I watched from 8:09 to 8:23, they were just gushing about how great a speech it was. And I think she did fine. I didn't think it was as good as they were making it out to be. But if I'm a conservative in America and I'm watching CNN, just for the straight middle of the road, that's what I hear for 15 minutes, is it's great, and then lonely Scott. It does look, I mean, and when you see the path, it does look like tokenism. It's kind of like the same as The View. It's like it's almost better to have nobody there, like MSNBC.
Now, the thing is, and we played this clip last week after it happened, but that same lady, Caitlin Collins, was on Stephen Colbert's show where he talk about Democrats in the tank or,
yeah,
you know, media people in the tank for Democrats. Stephen Colbert brought up he applauded CNN for being middle of the road and just, you know, reporting the news, to which people in the audience started laughing. Yes. In New York City.
Yes. Well, listen, everyone knows what's going on, I think. I say everyone, not everyone. There are a lot of people who have fallen for it. But Bill Maher is, we've said this before, he's an old school liberal.
Mm-hmm.
He despises Donald Trump, so he's no fan of the conservatives. He hates Christianity. All right, this guy despises conservatism, but he is an old school liberal, Fred, who grew up in a country where old school liberals applauded free speech, and they wanted the news media to do their job,
yeah,
which is to report the facts. Even Bill Maher understands that the left-wingers in the media are just an extension of the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah. If I was a journalist, and I mean a real journalist working at CNN right now, I'd be embarrassed. Or ABC or CBS or NBC, or I guess they don't even are embarrassed at MSNBC. Just forget about it. I mean, they're cheerleaders for the Democratic Party. And I know we're going to get into what happened last Friday afternoon with RFK Jr. And a big part of his speech when he came out and said, I'm endorsing Donald Trump. I mean, you talk about old school liberal.
Right.
He's one of those that defines that term.
Right.
But, one of his big portions of his speech was going at the mainstream media. And what has happened in this country? It's very dangerous.
Yes.
The mainstream media has become an arm of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is why Bill Maher was making, gushing about her speech, that she could do nothing wrong. She did deliver strongly the speech. She delivered the words in front of her very well.
Mm-hmm.
She did.
Yeah.
But she had all the words in front of her.
Right.
She had practiced that, and she had an adoring crowd in front of her. Pretty easy to do that kind of thing. But, we just talked about a moment ago, she's shying away from hard questions because she cannot handle that. And old school liberals are noticing that. And I think old school liberals are getting worried because some have drawn the comparison to, we're getting to the point where it's almost like Russia.
Yeah.
Where the government and the state media are in lockstep with one another. And anybody who steps outside of that, that's misinformation. That's a danger to democracy, what they're saying over there.
And that's why these old school liberals are nervous.
Yes.
Like Bill Maher and some of these, RFK Jr. And we will get to RFK Jr. and what his decision for his campaign was on Friday. Most of our listeners know, but we'll unpack that a little bit.
Yeah.
All these old school liberals, they understand the danger of weaponizing the federal government, of corporate America being in bed with one side of the political spectrum, the news media being a mouthpiece for only one side, the social media conglomerates working to suffocate free speech. They all understand this is a sword that cuts both ways. You may get your way in 2024, but that sword may come for you.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
And I think that's why they're very nervous about this. What it appears to be is this meshing together almost, I don't want to go overboard and say it's outright fascism yet, but when you have all those institutions gelling together to suppress free speech, we had in Europe, I don't know if we're going to get to this story. Steve Jordahl may be the one covering it today, of the head of a kind of free speech social media platform arrested.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We have people calling for the end of misinformation. Was it Governor Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor?
Yeah.
Governor who said, listen, you can't have, there's no First Amendment protection for misinformation.
Right.
Wasn't that him?
It was. And that's not correct on his part.
Right. But that belief makes old school liberals nervous.
Well, I think COVID really unleashed the agenda of the left.
Right.
When it came, you couldn't question what medication you should take. Mm-hmm. You weren't supposed to question whether you should take the shot.
You could get fired for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They wanted people to get a shot or lose their job.
Right.
Yes. That's where it was. And that's the real agenda was unleashed then. And we're still seeing indications of that.
Because those on the radical left, I want to be fair about this. There are old school Democrats who are, they're nervous like Maher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But on the radical left, people are starting to understand just how radical they are.
Yes.
And whether or not Kamala Harris is revealed to be a part of that radical movement, I believe she is. Whether the majority of voters understand that remains to be seen.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and we will come back for more of today's issues. Hope you'll join us. If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, at least the first 3 days of it. Joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. All right, Chris, what do we got next?
Well, this one could very well have been the lead story had Donald Trump not paid a visit there to the people of the great state of Virginia to mark the anniversary of the Afghanistan exit. We had his audio earlier, so do check out the podcast later, and you'll get that story that I'm talking about. The thing that could have been the lead was RFK Jr.'s departure from the presidential race. This was on Friday, which, again, is one of the reasons why it's important to have a news service operating on Fridays, because news, big news, tends to happen, especially during an election year or during a Supreme Court term on Friday. So always make it a point to check out our news service on Fridays, AFN.net. We've got some audio here of RFK. Let's begin with this one, just to kind of, maybe in case you missed it, however we want to do it. But let's begin with this one. It's RFK Jr. explaining why he left the Democratic Party. Clip one.
Our party was the bulwark against big money interests and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of democracy. As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money. When it abandoned democracy by canceling the primary to conceal the cognitive decline of the sitting president, I left the party to run as an independent.
Wow.
Wow, that is a lot of body blows,
yeah,
that RFK Jr. is landing on the Democratic Party. You know, a lot of people don't remember. They're not old like me, okay? All right, or Fred here. But, you know, John F. Kennedy, as president, passed tax cuts. Mm-hmm. I have a quote from him where he says that the rights that are listed in the Bill of Rights come from God Almighty and not the state. That is not an idea you're going to hear in today's Democratic Party. I mean, we're talking about now, conservatives and liberals have had serious disagreements, you know, when we're talking about in the 60s and 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, on how to spend money and whether we should build up the military or invest it in welfare programs. That has always been kind of the traditional back and forth. But what RFK Jr. Was just saying, Fred, and including talking about political corruption.
Yes.
And talking about the fact that the Democratic Party was hiding the cognitive decline of the sitting president.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are now in the Democratic Party in league with, in bed with, if you will, all these big conglomerate, centralized economic powers in our country. You're talking about, you know, a big ag, big agriculture,
mm-hmm.
these companies that are buying up small farms.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going, well, who's going to own our agriculture here?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if they become politically motivated? All right. This is serious stuff that RFK Jr. is talking about. And I'm guessing that he and President Trump will have some serious disagreements on policy, but there's a lot of what RFK Jr. is saying that I'm sitting there going, I agree with this guy.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, having lived through those Kennedy years, you know, the assassination, the former President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's assassination.
Right.
Having lived through that and lived through the years when the Kennedy Democrats ruled.
Right. That was a powerful family. Ted Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Was a senator for decades.
Yes. They ruled the news cycle.
Right.
Because the Kennedy family was that important. And now to have this member of the Kennedy family saying he doesn't recognize the Democratic Party anymore. I mean, I hope you heard what he had to say. He called them, the current Democrats, Biden, Harris, and their machine, a threat to democracy.
Yes.
So just think about this. They keep saying Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. What Kennedy is saying, no, the real threat here is the Democratic Party. And he talks about the weaponization. He sounds so much like Donald Trump. The weaponization of federal departments.
Right.
The judicial department. I mean, Kennedy spoke out about the forced vaccinations and the damage it was doing to people. So it was almost like the current script of the Republican Party and Donald Trump. That's where Kennedy says, that's where the old Democratic Party was.
Mm-hmm.
That's same sort of thing. It was an extremely powerful moment when he came out there.
Yeah.
You know, and now members of his family over the weekend were disowning him, all right, because they still want to be part and recognized as being part of the Democratic Party of today. But what he's doing, the other thing that he mentioned and he talked about on Friday, because of his views, the Democratic Party and their lawyers have been working to keep him off the ballot.
Right. Yes.
So he declared himself as an independent, but they were worried about the 4, 5, 6, and I think up to 20. I'm talking about poll percentages at one point in certain areas. They were worried because they know this is a close election coming up. They were worried that 5%, if he drew those votes away from the Democratic Party, that their candidate will lose.
Right.
So they've been going to court to keep him off the ballot. Is that democracy?
Right.
And they wouldn't let him debate. No way. We don't want him part of the debate. The mainstream media, no way part of allowing Kennedy on that stage. So it was a very powerful moment on Friday when he took the stage there to make this announcement. And then later Friday night, he joins Donald Trump at a big event. I think it was in Phoenix.
I think so.
And they have been talking for a while.
Yeah.
They've been talking Trump for a while because right now, yes, they have their differences, but right now they have more similarities than certainly Kennedy is saying than with his old party.
Yeah.
Well, listen, again, a lot of people may not remember back in 68 when RFK Jr.'s dad, Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
He affectionately was called Bobby Kennedy. Now I was a Republican. I would never have voted for Bobby Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
but he had a real shot at winning the Democratic Party nomination.
Yes.
And probably because of his young age and his, hostility towards, organized crime. He was attorney general, and went to war against, the mob. Mm-hmm. In this country and got a lot of prosecutions. He wanted the Vietnam War to end. Bobby Kennedy had a real shot of winning the presidency. And there was the sympathy for the Kennedys because JFK had been assassinated in 63. So we're just talking 5 years later. So RFK Jr., again, Ted Kennedy ran for president on a number of occasions, was a U.S., powerful U.S. senator for decades and decades. RFK Jr. Has his Democratic Party bona fides or bona fides. He's been a part of that wing of American politics for a long time. Mm-hmm. I believe him when he says they've changed.
Yes.
And they pose a threat
mm-hmm.
to, they pose a threat. The Democratic Party poses a threat to democracy.
One other thing that Republicans use to criticize Democrats is, again, Democrats say Republicans are the threat to democracy. Republicans say, no, you are, and you're harming people because you control the media. The people controlling information, you have them in your Democratic back pocket. RFK got into a little bit of, RFK Jr., I should say, got into a little bit of what he called the media blackout of his campaign. Clip two.
Our television networks expose themselves as Democratic Party organs. The DNC-aligned mainstream media networks maintain a near-perfect embargo on interviews with me. Representatives of those networks are in this room right now, and I'll just take a moment to ask you to consider this really sacred responsibility, the duty of a free press to safeguard democracy and to challenge always the party in power. Your institutions have made themselves government mouthpieces and stenographers for the organs of power. You didn't alone cause the devolution of American democracy, but you could have prevented it.
Wow.
Yeah. Listen, I've heard interviews with RFK Jr., and he is very compelling. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about big pharma, when he's talking about the endless wars, the military-industrial complex, all those kind of things, he's very compelling. I understand why the Democratic Party-controlled mainstream media did not want him interviewed, because he really would go after, he probably would have gone after both Republican and Democratic power brokers. That's why he was not being interviewed. But the fact that his campaign was purposefully suffocated by the mainstream media is, I know there's a lawsuit that is going to go forward because of that, but that challenge mm-hmm. to the members of the media that were in the room at the time, Fred, this goes back to what you said earlier about the shift away from old school journalists to what we have now. Listen, whenever CNN said they were going to try to make some changes to get back towards the middle, Washington Post, New York Times, they're in big trouble because they can't move.
That's right.
They can't move towards the middle to be unbiased because the type of quote-unquote journalists they have now, a lot of these young people who have been schooled by the schools of journalism on colleges and universities, they've been taught they're activists.
Yes.
And it's going to be very difficult for these news organizations to shift back to the old school journalism because they'll face a rebellion.
Well, there's the old saying, money talks, money walks. And we're seeing this. And this is the good news, the silver lining in all of this. The mainstream media has moved so far to the left that they've lost viewers.
Right.
In the case of the Post, the Washington Post, the New York Times, they've lost readers. LA Times, the same sort of thing. They're downsizing their staff.
Right.
CNN has had a couple of downsizes now. What was it, the Atlantic magazine?
Yes.
I think they announced a layoff of 100 there last week or so. So the bleeding heart left-wing media are losing advertising dollars because they're losing readers, they're losing viewers. Advertising dollars are based on how many eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And so if you've got fewer eyes on you, that ad money goes away. So they're really committing suicide.
You know, it's like corporate America, Fred. It's like corporate America when they sided with the DEI, CRT view, the pro-LGBTQ. They sided with a portion
yes.
of their customer base,
yes.
alienating the rest.
Yes.
I mean, it is not a good business model. Uh-huh. What you should do is if you make widgets, you make widgets. You don't get involved in politics. You don't anger your customer base.
Yeah.
And that's what these mainstream media outlets have done. They have, in essence, alienated half the U.S. population.
Yes.
By picking the left as the side they're going to champion.
And I don't understand it. These corporate people, just the people in the back shop that run the place, they look at Fox and they see what Fox is making money hand over fist,
right.
Because they have a big audience. And it's because Fox at least attempts to be balanced. Most of their programs, if you watch Fox for a day, most of their programs will have a bleeding heart liberal
right.
yeah.
point of view on there. It irritates me when I listen to them, but I understand it is good to hear them say where they're coming from.
Right.
Instead of that anchor telling me, but the left says this. No, we got a member of the left here, and now we're going to hear from her or from him.
Right.
And so they get to speak. So people, when they're watching Fox, get some degree of balance on there as far as the left and the right. But they give as much credibility to the right, which is what the other networks do not. Mm. We won't even have the right on our shows.
Yeah, and that goes back to what Bill Maher was talking about, Lonely Scott. You know, you have five against one. Listen, I'm not always a big fan of Fox.
No.
Fox can sound, I mean, they're not always straight conservative.
That's right.
So let me say this. For the major players in the news media, television news media, mm-hmm. and online presence, Fox is the main game in town for conservatives.
Right. Yep.
And the reason why the left is having so many problems is because their half of the audience is split.
Yes.
It's split amongst CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC. Who have I left out? I've left out somebody. Okay. Their audience is split.
Yep.
And that's why Fox, I think that's why Fox is doing well. If Fox does not blow this,
yes,
they will be the main player. There are other television news outlets, but they're the major player right now on the conservative side of the spectrum. But the audience is fractured
yeah.
on the left, and that's why they all might go under.
Yes. Yeah. We have in the studio here, we watch four different networks.
Yes.
And very often, you know, if it's a big, big, big news event, all four will carry it. But very often, Fox is the only one that is giving Trump some degree of platform
right.
for what he's at least having him on there and having his say, where the other networks will not do that.
Right.
And that's why, I mean, it's, I've been in the news business now since late 70s. And doing this, it was, you get your proverbial knuckles cracked with the ruler.
Right.
If you allowed your point of view in your journalism.
Yes.
And I worked for secular side of things back in the 70s and the 80s when I was working with them. It was your goal not to show your bias, but it all changed about 20 years later.
Yeah.
It was all preaching about, and the term that was used was point of view journalism.
Yes.
We believe in point of view journalism. And by the way, we only agree with one point of view. Right.
Chris, isn't it true that when on Friday, when RFK Jr. was making his announcement, CNN was covering it up until RFK Jr. started going after the Democratic Party? Then they cut away from his speech.
Yeah. Newsbusters documented that well on Friday with various posts. Or tweets to show people that they did kind of like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yes. You
know, we've brush
covered
it off.
Enough of it.
And that's back to his point that, look, I was in a media blackout.
Yeah. All right. Next. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, let's mention this real quick because it's a good soundbite from Joe Concha reacting to the RFK Democrats media situation here. That we've been discussing for a few minutes now. Clip four.
You know, we saw those paid to give political analysis portray him as a kook, as someone who should not be taken seriously. And then the hit pieces came from the likes of the New York Times and the Washington Post because he was a threat to Joe Biden, the party nominee at the time. And now that Kennedy has come out and endorsed Donald Trump, those attacks on his character, on his worldview, are on steroids. Meanwhile, the Democratic Party thought and fought tooth and nail to keep him off of every state ballot in the country. That the party made sure that Joe Biden would not debate him during the primary process, which was not a process at all, and it was fixed to make sure that the sitting president was as protected and exposed the least amount as possible. And it's the Democratic Party, and I'll leave it.
Yes. Okay. So we do have that. Transitioning to a different situation here, with the mainstream media. I've got Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton calling out Kamala Harris for her lack of policy positions during a segment on ABC. Listen to this, clip six.
President Trump is going to draw a sharp contrast with Kamala Harris, who has supported things like decriminalizing illegal immigration or giving taxpayer-funded health insurance to illegal aliens or taking away health insurance on the job for 170 million Americans, banning gas cars, confiscating firearms.
These are all positions. What do you mean taking away health insurance? What are you talking about?
She said when she ran for president that she wants to eliminate private health insurance on the job. Well, 170 million Americans, John.
Yeah, I mean that is not her position now. She no
How do you know that's not her medical, position? How do you know that's not her position?
I mean, she says she no longer supports Medicare for all.
She has not said that. Okay. Maybe anonymous aides on a Friday night have said that.
She hasn't said that, and it was almost like John.
That was a bad edit there on the end. Okay. But yeah, that was Fox and Friends laughing at how Jonathan Karl of ABC was clearly not prepared for that moment.
No.
In that exchange.
Well, she has said that. She has said all sorts of loony things.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's having to walk them all back because suddenly she's the Democratic Party's nominee.
Yes. Yes. Trying to win Pennsylvania where, oh, by the way, fracking occurs a lot.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people want it more. Anyway, so let's mention this because it is very important, and it's something we have started covering, and if the Lord tarries, we'll continue to cover this between now and November 5th. We're not just picking presidential candidates this November. Obviously, depending on the state you live in, you may have a lot of a ballot initiatives, voting on this or voting against that. On our Today's Issues Facebook page, I have posted an infographic with the growing number of states voting on abortion somehow, some way this November. So do check out the Today's Issues Facebook page for that graphic. What you're going to hear now is a soundbite of Carol Tobias of National Right to Life talking about the importance of pro-lifers, not just voting on presidential candidates this November, but being informed and voting on abortion ballot initiatives, again, in the growing number of states doing so this November. Clip 11.
In a post-Dobbs world, pro-lifers have to be even more active and vocal than they were before, because our opponents are putting together money and their own people trying to change the laws so that there are no limits whatsoever on abortion.
You know, Fred, this is a bad situation that's developed after the Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade and sent this back to the states, the issue of abortion. Sandy Rios sent around to leadership last night or over the weekend sometime an ad that has been running in some of these states. But how many states is it? 11 states?
Right now it's 11.
11 states are going to be voting on November 5th to enshrine abortion, many of them, maybe all of them, in their state constitutions, which is very difficult to overturn just in normal elections. But this ad was filled with lies.
Yes.
It was a highly polished ad with young women, the focus of the advertisement. I think it was a 30-second ad or maybe a 60-second. I don't remember. But it was filled with lies, saying that Republicans want to get rid of in vitro fertilization. They want to get rid of birth control, as well as getting rid of abortion. And listen, all those kinds of things are debated. I don't know any Republican. Certainly this hasn't happened in any national way where the Republican Party is calling for the banning birth control. But this is the problem on these in these state-by-state ballot initiative battles. The pro-life side is facing enormous amounts of money
yes.
being poured into their state from outside national organizations in order to get young women to the polls to enshrine abortion. Now, that is what we asked for.
Yeah.
That is former President Trump's official position. It belongs to the states. But as she just said, pro-lifers have to get involved
yep.
in this battle or you're going to lose these state battles.
Well, the pro-life movements in all of these states, these 11 states and others, have to get out there with the truth.
Right.
That is the bottom line. But the other thing, it's become so clear where the Democratic Party is. When they rolled in a mobile clinic to their convention
yes.
last week in Chicago.
Free abortions.
Offering free abortions. This is one of the major national parties in this country all in on go ahead and kill your baby.
Yeah.
stop and think about
this. Yeah, they've gone a long way in just 30 years because 1992 was the first election I really remember and kind of paid attention to. And in the early 1990s, you had people like Bill Clinton, who probably could run and win again today. He was that popular enough back
right.
then. But he talked about abortion being, quote, safe, legal, and rare. And now we have people like Carol Tobias in a separate soundbite. I've aired it before on this program. But Carol says Democrats are no longer the party of choice. They are now the party of abortion, which, to Fred's point, is the reason why you truck the abortion truck up to Chicago, where they do kill a lot of babies on an annual basis. This was just more.
Well, and what kind of was underneath the radar, except here on AFR, is they're also giving free vasectomies
yes.
to yeah. men. Mm-hmm. And that tells me, as I mentioned last week or maybe the week before, I forget, they weren't offering free surgeries for carpal tunnel syndrome.
No.
Okay? This is vasectomies for a reason. They wanted young men to come in, get the free procedure, so that they won't ever have children. The Democratic Party is not just anti-life, it is anti-family, it is anti-children. They believe children are killing the planet because of their lifetime carbon emissions.
Yes.
That, to me, was very telling.
Pay no attention to how all the people got to Chicago for the convention
yes.
with their carbon emissions.
Right.
The Democratic Party of today is extreme, extreme left.
Yes.
Just look at the facts, folks. This is not supposition on our part or speculation. Just look at the facts. A mobile abortion clinic at their convention.
Free.
Free.
Free death.
Yes.
Free death. All right, folks, we are going to take a short 5-minute break for news. American Family News will be on your radio, so you want to listen to that as well. And in 5 minutes, we'll be back. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be in for more news. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.